You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sam Norris, Sean Quinn and Gareth Topham in the studio. We've got racing on the flats at Brighton, accompanied by jumping at Perth and Newton Abbott throughout the afternoon. We've got all other action in the evening as well from Chelmsford City, so plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Alistair Jones. How are you, Ali?
Very well, thank you, Mark.
Good man. Good man. We're going to have a little bit of a look back at Saturday's stuff before getting stuck into Monday. Ali's going to give us a couple of bets to look at on Monday. But we start with Saturday. You were in the studio on Saturday as well, and the star performer or the star name on show that everyone was kind of hoping to see do well back on the track was Enable on Saturday. She went on to win the opener at Kempton in good style as well, and she's now 7-4 to repeat her ARC success. Frankie didn't really get too serious on her either. She's done it really smoothly there, and if she's not fully wound up and she's still doing that, then she's special, isn't she, as we already knew, I suppose.
Absolutely, yeah. She's it was great to see her back. Her attitude, you know, she was just such a happy thing, wasn't she, going down to the start and just wanted to get on with it. Yeah, Gosden said she was 80%, so, you know, I know she was getting, what, £8 off Crystal Ocean. Very much job done. Perfect stepping stone to the arc, and you know, she's head and, you know, her form's head and shoulders really above, especially what CF Class has achieved thus far. Admittedly, you know, the Haggis filly has a lot of potential, but you know, I think her form is a long way beneath what Enable has achieved, and she's very much the one they all have to beat, as the market would suggest. I thought, from a betting perspective, you know, that race on Saturday was a bit of an anticlimax. If you'd back Crystal Ocean. And many did, you know. And as I said, he was given Enable £8, so it was never going to be easy. But he was race fit, you know, and he very nearly won a King George. Got every right to believe that, you know, he could give her a race if you know, she was at all vulnerable first time back. But for me, it was more like a piece of work. I can't believe the tactics they employed to just let her totally dominate, put her under no pressure whatsoever. I mean, you never want to see a good one get beat, so it was nice to see Enable do that, and you know, for them it was the perfect comeback. But if you back Crystal Ocean, for me you're feeling a bit shortchanged, because for me he was never put in the race, you know. He sort of never got within a length of her, I don't think. And you know, why would, you know, you do that on a horse that was a guaranteed stayer, that was hard fit? You know, you just thought the only way that, you know, you could beat her really is by running the finish out of her if she was, you know, not 100%, which was always going to be the case. So, for me, I thought in terms of, yes, it was great to see Enable back and, you know, onwards and upwards. But from in terms of a competition, I thought it was a bit underwhelming.
Yeah. So, interesting. Do you put that down to getting the tactics slightly wrong on Crystal Ocean, or just that Enable's just that good that he couldn't live with her?
Yeah, John Gosden was read, you know, his quotes this morning in the paper, I think, are bang on. He sort of says, I thought David Probert showed a lot of class by not leaning on her early, and fair play to him. So it was as though that, you know, he's just sort of, Probert's, he was, I'd presume he was riding to orders.
Yeah.
You know, they'd obviously discussed it with Stout, but for me, I just, how do they possibly think they were going to win the race like that, you know, just letting her have a soft lead and quicken up from the front.
Yeah.
You know, any horse, you know, you're playing catch-up off a slow pace at Kempton's going to be difficult, let alone a filly of Enable's immense quality. So I just thought that was a bit of an underwhelming aspect of the run. Everybody's going, wow, wasn't she great? And it was great to see her back. But for me, she was gifted it, you know.
She's 7-4 favourite now for the ARC. Sea of Class, who does need to be supplemented, is 4-1. Cracksman, 7-1. 10-1 Crystal Ocean, who again needs to be supplemented. 10-1 for Lati Dar. 12-1 for Poet's Word. And 20s or bigger for the remainder. That is the betting at the moment for the Pretty Like the Triumph, which is at Longchamp in October, isn't it? So got that to look forward to. They've also talked about possibly having a Breeders' Cup campaign with Enable as well.
What's that?
Well, it's been mentioned in passing, not as the obviously the Ark is the target, but given that she's only had one race this term, second race will be in the Ark. You could see it being that, like, you know, she's had a back end campaign.
Yeah,
the Breeders' Cup would be a possible option.
Absolutely, and our course is obviously the Breeders' Cup turf is the only feasible race. Ark. Win. I'm not sure if they've got the greatest of record arc. You've got to win the thing first. But horses beaten in the arc have a very good record in the Breeders' Cup, and not many winners would have actually gone over there. You know,
no.
Obviously Dancing Brave would be the most famous, and he got beat. But not many arc winners sort of make the journey. But I see what you mean. She's only had two runs, and according to two runs obviously after the arc. And John Gosden's been at pains to say, you know, she's been absolutely dying to get on with it. So having only been seeing so competitive little action, maybe they will be tempted by America. Yeah, and Khaled Abdullah, of course, does have a lot of runners over there.
Yeah.
You know, he's run a lot of his better horses have sort of headed over to the big American meeting. So it wouldn't be a complete bolt from the blue.
And John Gosden obviously has a decent record in the States, doesn't he? Or he spent time in the States, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Yeah, he did. He obviously won the Classic with Raven's Pass, I believe.
Yeah.
The only British winner of that race, I believe, is it? Might be going nuts now. But I'm pretty convinced that, Raven's Pass definitely won it. That was on when they changed it from dirt to a different surface, didn't they? And then I think the two Brits dominated and they soon changed it back to dirt. They thought, we're not having any of this.
Elsewhere, good racing at Haydock, despite the ground. It was attritional stuff, wasn't it? Heavy ground at Haydock, but... the Sprint Cup seems to be on testing conditions more often than not. It's just the way it works, I suppose, with the weather. And the Tin Man doing well in that race, went on to score, won at 7-1, beat Brando and Gustav Klimt. I thought it was a decent performance from the Tin Man. I thought he's got another Group 1 success to his name. What did you make of the favourite in that race, who I thought travelled quite well for a point, but was his turn of foot blunted by the heavy ground?
Well, it was similar ground last year when he won it. I just think they went off miles too fast. If you look at those three towards the far side who broke from stalls 1, 2 and 3 were Harry Angel, Hey Jonesy and James Garfield. They were drawn 1, 2 and 3. And they finished, Harry Angel's ran, finished 6th. The other two have finished 10th and 12th. They've just gone off too fast and completely set it up for the closers drawn on the near side. I suppose Adam Kirby was twixt in between, really, because obviously Harry Angel blew the start, got very upset at Royal Ascot, so he was keen to get the horse out and break quickly. But if anything, he's broke a bit too fast, and they've just done far too much, you know, early doors. He'd have had to be an absolute superstar to have maintained the gallop on that sort of ground.
Yeah,
I don't think he went off that fast last year. He was sort of out of his comfort zone because he was pressed by, the other horse that was drawn next to him, and they've just gone off too fast. It's fairly crystal clear, I think.
Yeah.
But he's obviously not straightforward, Harry Angel. He was sort of close to getting it. He got a little bit upset in the stalls once more, so I presume he'll run in the big meeting at Ascot, and then maybe that'll be it. I don't know if they're going to persevere next year or not.
And what do you make of the Tin Man, obviously?
I love the Tin Man. He's been placed in the past two renewals. I just thought I couldn't have him on the ground because he's a horse that is better on better ground.
Yeah, I thought that as well. Yeah.
And the pattern is always, they'll go to, options are very limited for a horse of that quality. So he has to run at Haydock. But then I always think they'll expect him to run okay, get place money, and then hopefully we'll win at Ascot because that's his specialist track. So I expect him to take a bit of beating at Ascot now on the back of that performance. But he's a great horse, isn't he?
Great horse, yeah.
And he's, I think he's a gelding now, isn't he? So they'll, who knows? He'll probably be back next year, I thought.
Yeah, I can't see why they wouldn't. He's 6 years old. Gelding seems to be getting better with age as well, doesn't he, I suppose? So.
Yeah, tough luck on Tom Queeley, who's ridden him, obviously, for the last 18 starts. And he was at Kempton. He did have a winner, at least, at Kempton, but wasn't a Group 1 winner.
Mm.
So tough on him. And who knows, he might have won on him anyway, but I don't know. Sometimes you just try... change of hands, and you just don't know anything might just trigger that bit of improvement, and Ocean Murphy's clearly the go-to man at the minute, isn't he?
He's flying, isn't he? He's having a great
amazing
season.
Yeah, real breakthrough season for him.
Yeah. Anything else on that, John, the Saturday before we get a couple of selections for Monday?
Loads. There was a lot of racing yesterday, wasn't there? I thought the big handicap at Ascot was a cracker. Rip Off, of course, winning again for David Ellsworth, and two horses to take out of that who've been incredibly unlucky this season. Kate Byron, both Roger Varian trained. Kate Byron was second, and Spanish City, who has to be, I wouldn't say he's one of the unluckiest horses in training, because he hasn't had that bad a season, but he's been so unlucky in his last three or four starts. And yet again, yesterday, he ended up being isolated down the stands rail. You know, he's only just been run out of it in the closing stages, and he is, I say he's a winner waiting to happen. I keep saying that, but his mark is slowly edging upwards.
Yeah.
And you just sense that he may have missed the boat.
That's the trouble, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because these handicaps are so competitive now that, you know, small margins are everything. And I just fear that he may have missed the boat.
And Rip Off, the winner, you can't help but sound posh when you say Rip Off.
Well, I was calling him something else because I'd put Kate Byron up in the studio yesterday, so I was calling him something else off.
Oh, dear. Yes, we won't find out what that is. I don't think it's broadcastable. Should we leave it there? Should we move
on? Yeah, that's about it, I think. It's a good day.
Good stuff. So that was Saturday, good racing there. We've got a day of largely jumping in the afternoon at... on Monday we've got racing at Perth and Newton Abbott, and we've also got Brighton alongside that on the flat. That is the two clear meeting as well, so with races at Brighton with six or more runners, if your selection wins by two lengths or more, you get an extra 15% on top of your winnings as well. But Ali's picked two races at Newton Abbott. We're going jumping in terms of this podcast, and the 2.55 is the first of them, a handicap chase over the extended 2.5 miles. It's nearly 2 miles, 5 furlongs, isn't it? Bar a yard or two. Seven runners going to post for this one, and which one do you think comes home in front?
I think Roll the Dough is going to take a lot of beating here. He took a while to get off the mark over fences. He was sort of threatening to become disappointing, but he returned from a break here 9 days ago, and he won really well, and he beat a horse on demand of Colin Tizard, who I believe is well handicapped. I actually did the spotlight for that race, and I tipped on demand, expecting him to take a lot of beating, and Roll the Dough was too good for him on the day, and both were nicely clear. I think the form for that grade is decent. He has gone up £6, but Richard Johnson was aboard last time, and they've booked Sean Houlihan for Monday, and his claim, I mean, he's a decent jockey, and his claim of £5 basically wipes out the rise in the handicap. And you've also got to bear in mind that his hurdle mark, even despite the rise that he's had over fences, his hurdle mark is still £18 higher. So if the penny has dropped over fences, and that appeared to be the case 9 days ago, you know, he jumped well in the main, was well on top at the finish, you know, looked a happy horse, then I think he'll take a lot of beating off, you know, off his new mark.
Roll the Dough then to take a lot of beating in that 2.55 at Newton Abbott, and the next race there is the 3.25, which is a handicap hurdle over the extended 3.25 miles, and 10 runners going to post for this one. Probably the most competitive race on the card there. We've got the likes of Ben Eagles, who arrives in winning form, Lord Topper's chasing the hat-trick, Perfect Man comes here searching for the hat-trick, as does King's Lad. You've got Time for Ben, who's been knocking on the door. Night Generation finished second on his last two outings as well. It's a real competitive race to look forward to.
It is. It's a really good race, this. And I'm going to go for one who actually finished seventh last time out, so not in quite as red-hot form. But the top one, What a Night, has got a bit of class about him. He's on a losing run, admittedly. He's not won since October 2016. But if he's a very classy customer for this level of competition, and he was second of 23 over 3 miles at Cheltenham in April. That was on its penultimate run. He's only £2 higher than that day. If he repeats that form, then he's going to be bang there against horses that are basically, yes, they're in form, but they're all stepping up in grade. So he's just for this level, he's a class act, and don't be remotely concerned by the break. You know, Harry Fry gets his horses very fit at home. It wasn't at his best at Haydock last time, admittedly, sort of weakened out of it in the closing stages, but like I said, he's had a break since then. He actually won that race 2 years earlier as well at Haydock. So that was a bit of a backward step. But there's no question that if he returns in his best form, then he's got every chance to defy a mark of 1.39. Perfect Man was very impressive at Market Raisin on his debut for Ollie Murphy, but he's gone up £10. That was a class four. This is a class two. So it's quite a good rising grade. And you just, you know, suspect that may have been the time to catch him. Lord Topper, again, he's a horse that's made all for his last two wins at this track. But again, he's another that is, you know, he needs a career best and by some margin off what is a higher mark in a better race. So for me, if What a Night, the What a Night we know turns up after a decent break, then he'll take a lot of beating.
What a Night, the selection then in the 325 at Newton Abbott, that goes with Roll the Dough in the 255 of the pair. Which is your strongest opinion?
Well, I think the Roll the Dough will be tight enough in the market. I think What a Night will be the better value, so he'd be the main bet.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Ali. Been a pleasure once more, and enjoy the action on Monday.
Indeed. Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The selections of Alistair Jones then, or for Monday, or on Monday, whichever you prefer. You can hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 PM. Sam Norris, Sean Quinn and Gareth Topham in the studio. Brighton, Perth and Newton Abbott, the meetings in the afternoon. Chelmsford City throughout the evening as well. So plenty to get stuck into. Do join the team for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.